Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
And once again, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Savior, the Savior of sinners. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so indeed we come to the Lord, to His Word. We come to Him as He leads us by His Spirit to understand what His Word says. We start today on our program asking the question of, overcoming wrong thinking. And there are many approaches that people have, and they will say that many will try to ignore wrong thinking and say it's not there, and think that by their failure to acknowledge the fact that certain feelings do exist, they think that these things will go away. But that's not the way to have victory in the life. We must deny those desires of the flesh. We must not entertain the thought and think that by entertaining it, it eventually will just sort of wear itself out and fizz itself away. No, that's not the way to overcome lustful thinking. It will continue to burn and burn and burn, and will burn hotter and brighter until one is forced at the point of doing something violent, irrational, ungodly, evil. Don't even debate with wicked thinking. Recognize that when it comes a knocking at the door of the mind, Lord, this thinking is wrong. I ask Thee in Jesus' name and through the blood of Christ, O Lord, that Thou wouldest help me and set my mind on those things that are pure. Lord, Thy word tells me that it is not good to think on these things. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask for Thy help. I ask for Thy blessings. And go on and start quoting Scripture and start thinking on those things that are good and lovely and are pure. And the Lord will help you. You see, the Lord wants you to be victorious in your life as a Christian. He wants you to succeed in His service, and He will help you, for the Lord God will help you. He will not fail on any one of His good promises. He cannot fail. So don't talk to the wicked thoughts. Don't lodge them. When they come, send them on. They have no place in your mind. Your mind is to be the mind of Christ. The same mind that was in Christ is to be in you. And so if you start reasoning with lustful thinking, you're going to reason yourself right out of a good, stately, and godly position. You will reason yourself right into a sinful state. And that's the path of wicked thinking. It takes you down the road of degradation, destruction, and harm. So when wicked thinking comes, don't answer the door with it. Don't answer the door and talk about it. I remember some years ago I was in a city to hold some evangelistic meetings. And while I was there at that hotel, there were some women walking around outside the door of the back court of that hotel area. And they were making such noise with loud heels on. Their shoes were just making noise. They laughed and they talked. And it seemed to have did this all night. And I was so tempted to go to the door and say, please, don't you understand? People are trying to sleep. Why don't you go somewhere else and talk like this? This is night. But I didn't. The Lord did not allow me to do so. And the next morning, as I was getting dressed to go back to the church to have another meeting, then the Lord, as I looked and saw the sun had risen, the Lord seemed to say, now, that was evil of them to do. They were of no good. And He kept me from answering that door, to go to the door. And I thank the Lord. That's the way thoughts are. Don't let wicked thinking come into the mind. If it does, it's going to start talking, and it'll talk its way into your life. Heavenly Father, help us, I pray, to recognize when there are vile, evil things before us and to flee these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's continue in the book of Exodus now, chapter 34. And in verse 5, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him, that is Moses, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. So the Lord proclaims the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him, Moses, and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children's children, unto the third and fourth generation. Now notice this, how the Lord proclaims himself, how the Lord presents himself. He shows himself as the gracious God, as the merciful God. Right after he has had Moses to deal with these, in this, the way the chapter is laid out, the book is laid out, but the Lord presents himself. Now, this is how what we know about God, and this is how we see God to be. Notice what he says about himself in verse 6 of Exodus 34. He is merciful. He is gracious, full of grace. He is long-suffering. He is abundant in goodness and truth. Now, just those thoughts right there. We would not have known this about God if God had not revealed this about himself. There are many who will say, I think God is like this. And another will say, oh, I think God is like this. And I think God is, and you can see that by the kinds of gods they construct. They build themselves a God that they can move around, put in their pocket, put in a closet, put out of sight when there is something they want to do. And they think their God is not going to approve of it. Then they'll lop that part of their God off. And see, they make themselves a God after themselves. They look to see what they're like and say, now this is what it is. Now what they're doing is they're worshiping some aspect of self. That's what man does. He worships self. He worships self and he says, well, actually he's worshiping God, but actually it's just his mind that he's worshiping. And you will come to great arguments with people if you will, but I pray that you won't. Just present God the way he is. He has let us know what he is like. He is a God of grace. Now, he's a holy God. He gave the law to let them know what he was like. And then he lets them know who he is. The Lord is a God of mercy. That's how he likes to be known. And that's what he delights in showing. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee but to do good, to love mercy, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. God lets us know what he himself is like. If you don't accept what he has revealed about himself, then you don't have any hope. If you reject what he has revealed about himself, you don't know him. You can't make God in your mind. You see, the God who made you also made your mind, and you now are going to turn around and build a God with your mind. That's like saying, I'm going to build myself a platform, and now I'm going to put myself up in the air, but I don't need these props that are holding the platform up, so I'm just going to knock them away. And what will happen? Down it goes. And people try to build up a God in their mind, and then they say, we don't need the God of the Bible. Well, you just thrown yourself out into space drifting. You have no way of holding on to anything, no way of directing and guiding and leading yourself, no way at all. You must accept what God has revealed about himself. He has revealed this, that he is full of mercy. He is gracious. He is long-suffering. He doesn't strike out instantly the very moment you sin. There are many who think that God is like that, that he's just waiting for you to fail so that he can bring down harsh judgment upon you. No, this is Old Testament that I'm looking in. And you see, people get confused and think that the God of the Old Testament is different from the God of the New Testament. No, He is the one. He is the one God. He is the one Lord. And He is the gracious God. He is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, somebody said recently, the Lord sure does bless us mightily. Well, the Lord blesses mightily, and He does indeed do so. But there are wicked people who live a long time, and a lot of wicked people seem to prosper, and they know they're wicked. They know they're doing wrong, but they keep on going. And they think that because they haven't gotten caught, that nobody knows, they will be brought down. They'll be brought down. They'll be brought before a holy God, and because of God's long suffering, because of His abundant goodness and grace, because of His graciousness, that He is full of grace, that He has held back that wrath which He should have poured out upon us, He held it back. You know, He has given you a space to repent. He is showing you mercy and goodness, and you continue on in your sinful, evil way, thinking and boasting, by the way, that it's your ground that's brought forth the abundant fruit. It is your plan that has brought all of this success for you. It is your Babylon that you've built. It is your farm that you purchased and your ingenuity that made the crops to produce so much so until you had to build another barn. When all the time it's God's grace. He is showing you His goodness, giving you a space to repent, giving you time to repent. The light is shown to show you the way. God's goodness is shown to you that you might recognize that He is good and that you might turn from your sinful way. But you know, the hearts of men are fully set in them to do evil. That's another testimony of the fact that man is a depraved creature. He is capable of doing the worst of sin, going as far from God as he can. Man will lift himself up high in pride and will steal whatever he can from the Lord. And man will seek worship if he could get it. That's what he wants. He wants the praise of other men. He wants the approval of other men. Oh, our hearts are so deceitful. Our hearts are so vile. And we think that we can fool other people. But God knows what you know. And He knows that you have thought on the fact that you're evil and He's good. And yet He waits. Look at verse 7 again. He keeps mercy for thousands, and earlier for thousands of to a thousand generations, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. Notice He says He forgives, and then He won't forgive those who will not come to Him for His forgiveness. There is but one way to be made right with God, and that is God's way. Don't try to do it your way. You certainly will not be successful. You will fail. You will go out to meet God as an enemy. You will go out as a warrior against God, and you will lose every time. You're going to lose in that day. You need to repent today. Forsake your sin. Bow your knee to Him. Acknowledge the fact that God is merciful. He has given His all for you. He has given you a space to repent as He has shown you goodness, given you long life, given you health, prospered you in the way. He wants you to repent. Don't use the blessings of God to go further from the Lord and bring a greater blight on yourself. Heavenly Father, we ask in Jesus' name that Thou wouldest save some soul today, that someone would repent and receive the Savior for Jesus' sake. Amen.